Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11 inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. Issuesetc.org, go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Deuteronomy 15:6, for the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none.
He also went to Deuteronomy. That scored for the good governor, but when you got a $14.3 trillion debt, it's kind of late for that message to have a strong impact.
Believer, non-believer, no differences. We are all saved. So that's my number one commitment.
The church that survives is the one that proclaims Jesus, not the pastor, not the megastar, not the latest entertainment craze, but that constantly focuses back on the cross.
Moms in Ohio love Issues Etc.
Well, I have been one for 20 years. It is among the greatest privileges in my life. At times I would say the greatest privilege. It is one of the major vocations that I've enjoyed as a father, in addition to being a husband and a pastor and so many other things in the course of my life. And I must say that my experience with parenting was that just about the time I thought I was actually catching on, just about the time I thought that I was getting into the swing of things as a father, they were out of the house. But of course, parenting doesn't stop there, but one wonders nowadays with the state of parenting such as it is, with it being redefined legally, socially, in our society, culturally, what is the future of parenting, especially Christian parenting, Christ-centered, cross-focused parenting. We begin a three-part weekly series today on Issues Etc. on just that. Dr. Gary Zeroth joins us for the first hour of the program on this Wednesday afternoon, the 20th of July. We are coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943. That's our call-in number, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest in the second hour of the program. We'll talk with him for about a half hour about how we regulate New Age gurus. Story from Arizona, I believe, a sweat lodge incident where a New Age guru actually is being charged with wrongful death or something of that nature. And one wonders, false teaching is always harmful. What when it is physically, even mortally harmful to people, how should society deal with it? After that, we'll remember the prophet Elijah along with the rest of the church on this 20th of July. Dr. Walter A. Meyer III will be our guest for that remembrance in the second hour of the program. Dr. Gary Zeroth is pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota. He's adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Zeroth, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Today we're going to talk about the biblical foundations, kind of the state of parenting today, and then the relationship of church and family in worship. Let's begin. How are parents faring these days?
Well, generally speaking, as a parent myself, as a father for over 22 years now, and as a parish pastor for almost 21 years, I can say that parents generally still want to do the best for their children. They want to raise them in the Christian faith. They want to bring them to church. They want their children to know who Jesus Christ is in their life. But from what I've observed these last 20-plus years is that many are still operating from a power source of weakness and confusion in how to go about this. I think one difficulty with being a parent today is that there are still so many conflicting theories about child training that even the experts, the so-called experts, disagree with one another. Everybody has their own opinion on how children should be raised. And one thing I can think of, one issue I can think of as I've studied, is that if you might remember back in the 40s, there was a very popular book, Baby and Child Care, by Dr. Benjamin Spock. As I recall, this book sold over 1 million copies in the first year, and it was second only to the Bible. One-third of all parents in the 40s read this book religiously. And even in the past 50 years, the tenets and teachings of that book still carry on today. For example, Dr. Spock taught that parents were not supposed to inhibit their children or restrain them, give them freedom to be themselves. He talked somewhat about not using chastisement or certain levels of physical punishment, but that parents should lovingly reason with their children, no matter what the age. And there's been a steady stream of books and magazines and articles that have carried the message of a humanistic behavioral psychology. I would call it a wishy-washy, lukewarm tolerance of things to the present day. So I would say parents generally are struggling with where to turn, who to turn to, who could they trust, where are they going to find the truth to raising their children.
What in that kind of now pervasive, and I think you're quite right, Dr. Zeroff, now pervasive theory of parenting, if you will, or model of parenting, what was fundamentally mistaken about it, perhaps even at the level of its assumptions rather than its assertions?
Well, there's no biblical viewpoint. Parents need to be directed towards the scriptures to understand what real love is. Love is not permissiveness, that is allowing a child to do what a child needs to do, but love is learned only by the love that Christ has shown to us under the cross. And so, as a parish pastor, one of my main goals in every church that I have served is try to work closely with parents and families to help them realize that the truth is found in Scripture. That is, God gives us in the Bible many words on how to raise a child and where to direct a child and where our focus should lie. Secular and psychological books and articles obviously don't go there.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that parents today have been unnecessarily hobbled in their task by a wrong idea about who they are as parents, what their role is, what their children, what their duty toward their children, if you will, is.
Yeah, children basically have been left to raise themselves. Parents nowadays find it very difficult to sacrifice their time or even their emotions to truly love them, to understand that scriptural teaching of what that means.
So let's talk then about the, if you will, what's missing from so much of parenting today, as you called it, the biblical foundations. With a few minutes before our break, where would you begin, Dr. Zeroff?
Well, we obviously need to begin with the doctrine of original sin. A lot of secular humanists will deny that a child is brought into this world as a sinner, that is unable to know God, to love God, and to trust in God above all things. At the very best, some secular psychologists teach that a child is morally neutral, unable to choose right from wrong. But yet that's where we have to begin, that this child, as it is brought into the world, is blind and is dead and is an enemy of God. So the place we begin is with baptismal regeneration. If, as in the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, if we are described as corrupted and that we are self-centered, then how is it that this child can make a change? That is, a change to know God, to know who he is, to love and obey his own parents. And there's many scriptural witnesses concerning this doctrine of original sin. Psalm 51 and Jeremiah 13:33, Romans chapter 5, 12 to 14. This is a basic understanding of who this child is when it is brought into the world. So the next question then becomes, who then becomes the chief evangelist in society? That is, if God hasn't gifted parents, a mother and a father, with a tremendous gift given to them, how is this child then to grow in its faith to know Jesus Christ and to confess him as the Savior? Well, we teach in the Lutheran Church that Christ's gifts are conveyed to us through his word and sacrament. And, of course, the main sacrament comes from the command of Christ in Matthew 28 to baptize all nations, that includes all people, young and old, which includes children, to be baptized and thus forgiven, and thus also be given the power to resist sin and to resist the devil. And so this doctrine of infant baptism is the Sedis Doctrinae of child-rearing or parenting. It comes from that, it stems from that, and everything else flows from the understanding of infant baptism. Children are given this responsibility to bring their children to Christ, and then he says baptize and to teach. They go together. Baptism has to do with faith, and the act of baptism, as it's conducted in the context of a believing community, and even baptism, Martin Luther said that baptism produces forgiveness of sins, it delivers from death and the devil, it grants eternal salvation to all who would believe. That means baptism, with its meaning and benefits and its implications for the Christian life, must be constantly explained and proclaimed to the person who has been.
Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more with Dr. Gary Zeroff, beginning a three-part weekly series on Christ-centered parenting.
Their father's hell did slowly go by and feed them on your dream.
How many Bible studies have companion issues, etc. audio?
Dr. Ken Sherb on our Book of the Month for July, The Christian's Mission.
The Christian's Mission takes you in 9 sessions through an overview of your mission as a Christian centering in the grace of God in Christ. A great alternative to a lot of quote-unquote missional thinking out there.
Order The Christian's Mission by calling 1-800-325-3040 or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Christian's Mission.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
If Issues Etc. refuses to scratch your itchy ears and scratches your old scabs instead, and you love them for it, then Redeemer Lutheran Church is the church in Fort Wayne for you. The only real difference between Issues Etc. and Redeemer is that Todd and Jeff only talk about Jesus. We talk about Jesus, but we also put him into people's mouths. We drive off demons with water. We are the church, and yes, we serve Jell-O in the basement.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, getting a three-part weekly series with Dr. Gary Zeroff on Christ-centered parenting. Today, the biblical foundations for parenting. The last 60 years of parenting, and we're talking about the church and the family in the context of worship. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address for your questions and comments as well, talkback@issuesetc.org, or our Twitter address at issuesetc. You were talking before the break about baptism and its close relationship, its necessary relationship with teaching. I take it that you, that part of the dilemma here is that the church has failed, the church in general has failed to set that context for parents and to equip parents for the task that is undertaken when they bring their child for baptism. What should the church do, Dr. Zeroth?
Yes, we should be asking the question, what is the state of the church in regards to helping parents or helping the family in this respect to assist them in equipping them to help their children grow in the faith? In the context of baptism, most parents that I have worked with are fairly faithful in bringing their children to be baptized. We stand around the baptismal font, and we go through the liturgy, and then comes the time where they make their vows. Parents promise before God and witnesses to raise their children in the Christian faith and to teach them the tenets of Christianity, specifically the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed. And the sponsors, those who have been chosen, also are there to assist them in this task. But the church, that is the congregation, as we stand together, also makes a similar vow or confession that they are there to assist these parents, these young parents, to help raise their children in the Christian faith. And I think oftentimes we're not aware of what that means. I'm reminded of when Luther wrote his preface to the Small Catechism back in 1528. He observed the conditions of the common people of the time in Saxony. And what he wrote was he observed the deplorable conditions which he encountered and caused him to write the Small Catechism. He says, "Good God, what wretchedness I have beheld. The common people, especially those who live in the country, have no knowledge whatever of Christian teaching. They have no knowledge of the Ten Commandments. They have no knowledge of the Lord's Prayer or the Creed. And unfortunately, many pastors are quite incompetent and unfitted for teaching." And so Luther, as we know, set out to write the Small Catechism to assist parents and to assist the church as a whole to bring up these little ones in the faith, especially fathers.
I wonder, someone listening to us might say, well, Dr. Zeroth, the church has, for the last 30 years, been, in a lot of ways, trying to equip parents. They've got principles for parenting. They have parenting books that they push. They have all sorts of stuff. What has been lacking there?
I think what has been lacking is a view or an understanding of the church itself. We have operated from a stance that if you bring your children to us, we will take care of them and we will teach them what they need to know. And this has been evolving for some time, taking parents away from their primary task of teaching, especially the faith. Even today, I mean, if I wanted to teach my children how to skate or how to swim, we take them to an expert or someone who knows more than I do. If I want to teach them a different language, we'll take them to an expert. I think that has crept into the church, and it's now settled in so much that if my child is going to be raised in the faith, I'm going to take them to the expert, which normally means the pastor, or in some cases, another church professional. I think that is where the problem has lied, Todd, is that we have misunderstood the function of the church, that is to assist the parents in their main role of teaching. We've told them outright or in subtle ways, bring them to us and we'll do it for you. And so therefore we kind of get that drop-off service. Parents will drop off their children maybe Sunday mornings and go off and do what they want and pick them up later. I know this is changing, and I can see this changing within the church, but it's still prevalent in many ways.
Have we also done parents a disservice as the church in failing to center their life as parents, then the family life together, around that word and sacraments that you mentioned before?
Yeah, you know, the primary goal is to help mom and dad, the parents, or even grandparents to center their life in the faith as well, so that they can convey that and teach it to others. It's been my own experience that even as I grew up, I have loving, wonderful parents, but I can't remember my own father praying or reading the Bible in front of me. Not that he didn't believe in Christ or didn't believe in God's word, but it just he came from a generation where his parents didn't provide that model, and it's sort of been carried down the last several generations that we haven't witnessed that model or that example from our own parents to learn from to take it into the next generation. So I believe it's time to stop that and reverse this trend of taking Christ and putting him in a box that is containing Christ and his teaching in a church-type setting or even a school-type setting, but to take it back and to train parents how to convey the faith and to teach the faith back at home or while they're walking, as Deuteronomy 6 says, or as they get up and as they rise down, rise at night, go to bed, as they converse together, that it becomes a natural part of what it means to be a Christian parent. Hard job? Yeah, of course it is. A lot of work? Of course it is. But I believe strongly this is where our effort should go.
Luther had, by way of solution, not only, as you mentioned before, trying to provide parents with the basic, the ABCs of the Christian faith in the small catechism, he also had a view that catechism had its place not only in the teaching of the church, but there in the home. He saw kind of, if I'm not mistaken, both the altar and the hearth as the two loci, the two centers for Christian teaching, one on the part of the pastor in the church, the other on the part of Father. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah. You know, the education of the children in the early church was dependent upon the close daily contact with mature Christians. Later on, the task shifted gradually to parents and sponsors. And if you look back in the history of the Christian church, it was this close contact with mature Christians that would convey the faith, that would actually teach it by word and by example. Today, in our churches, when parents and their sponsors, their chosen godparents, are asked to assume this responsibility for the baptized child's education, we need to go back and follow this long tradition of the church. And that's why more and more churches are moving into the so-called mentoring process. That is, sponsors nowadays are chosen at whim and probably not for the best reasons. And many of them don't even live in the same location as the family. So they have limited contact or limited ability to help the parents. Nowadays, as I'm trying to start in this congregation, as I've done in the past, is actually choosing mentors within the congregation, mature Christians, oftentimes grandparents, who can assist the moms and dads with the training of their children, and actually sit down on a one-on-one basis and help them to understand what this means, how to teach the faith at home. Pastors can certainly do this, but our time is limited, and as I tell many parents, it's hard for me to be in your house and to tuck your children into bed because you are the ones there doing it. So we have to develop a way, a system, a method to ensure that parents are being helped and equipped in the best possible way. And I think mentoring is one way to accomplish that.
We have only about a minute before we take our next break, Dr. Zeroff. Do you think that, especially in our context, the Lutheran American context, we may have done our parents a disservice through what was otherwise a strength, strong parochial Christian day schools, where, as you say, that was kind of outsourced. Christian education was kind of outsourced by the parents. 1 minute before our break.
Yeah. we've been so blessed with a parochial school system that actually has aided the parents in their task. It should not have taken away from that. Unfortunately, as times have changed, I believe that parents have looked at it as that source of religious education for their own kids, taking the responsibility away from them, or at least giving them that responsibility. A better way to look at it is that the church and the school, if there is one, and the family, all three entities, are working closely together for the benefit of the child, to raise that child to know Christ and to know his word in a very profound yet deep way.
Dr. Gary Zeroff is our guest. We're beginning a three-part weekly series on Christ-centered parenting. Today, the biblical foundations and the last 60 years of parenting. We'll talk about those last 60 years, what our guest calls a domino effect in parenting. On the other side of this break, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
The evening meal was done. Dad would read to us from the family Bible.
In 1968, Bob Edson perfected the sauce of his dreams. He called it Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce because it tastes great on everything. Country Bob's also has a line of specialty sauces like All-Purpose Spicy, Honey Habanero, or Apple Chipotle, if you like it hot. You can find Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce at your local grocery store or log on to CountryBob's.com and find out more, like a Country Bob's cookbook or recipes on their blog. No matter what you're grilling or cooking, it all comes down to the sauce. Country Bob's All-Purpose Sauce.
Here are two new ways that you can promote Issues Etc. The Issues Etc. business card and the Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer. Simply go to the support page at issuesetc.org, click Issues Etc. business cards, print the page on suitable stock paper, and cut along the lines. We also have an 8.5 by 11-inch flyer for the bulletin board at your church. IssuesETC.org. Go to the support page, click Issues Etc. bulletin board flyer, and print.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I've been following a group of kids called Crossroads as they walk across Canada to draw attention to abortion. Many of us can say we've sacrificed our time, energy, and resources for the pro-life cause, but not many can say they've been stalked by a grizzly bear. One of the walkers had the evening shift. Every so often he'd stop and shine a light behind him because bears were reported to be in the area. Each time he turned around, he saw a pair of eyes that would walk and then stop when he did. Thankfully, the bear's curiosity finally waned, or he wasn't hungry enough to take on a pro-life walker. Either way, I'm thankful the Lord's watching over these kids who are battling floods, hordes of mosquitoes, and the scorching sun to stand up for life.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org. And stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 20th of July. Dr. Gary Zeroff is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, beginning a three-part weekly series with him on Christian parenting. In about a half hour, in hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will join us. We'll talk about how society should regulate what sometimes become dangerous cults or New Age movements, especially their gurus. Dr. Walter A. Meyer III will join us after that to talk about the prophet Elijah. The church remembers Elijah on the 20th of July today. Dr. Zeroff, let's talk a little bit of history, if we could. You say that since, well, post-Great Depression in the United States, there's been a domino effect with regard to parenting that in the church and in society that has brought us to the current state of affairs. Walk us through that, if you would.
Yeah, it's sort of an interesting socioeconomic study of what's happened in the last 60 to 80 years, particularly in our North American society. If we go back to the 1930s and the Great Depression, you can only imagine what those circumstances must have been. I find out more about that as I talk to the older members of our congregation and our grandparents. Hard times cause families to get closer together, and that's what happened in the 1930s and the 1940s. American society back in those days went back to being a nurturing society, and the basic unit, the family, could be seen very dominantly during the Great Depression. Each member of the family became very dependent on one another for everything. And because of this interdependency between family members, especially between mother, father, and children, parents were in control. That is, they were seen as the source of security. Mom and dad held the family together during the Great Depression. And when the children of the Depression reached adulthood, those memories of going without and the fear that their turn might be next motivated them to work harder and to gain security, so that they believed when they became adults that their children would never go without again. And so what happened in the next ensuing decades, in the 40s and 50s, as the so-called baby boom generation began to grow, they fulfilled this promise that their children would never go without again. And so father worked hard, moms started to enter the workforce because they wanted to build financial freedom and security so that they would be immune to another financial depression. And so what happened by the end of the 1950s is that the pathway to materialism began as parents now became interested in gaining more and building more and getting bigger and better things. But we also see some negative effects because of this. In the 40s and 50s, the authority of the father and the authority of the husband began to decline as working wives increased. This led, now naturally it led to more individualism within the family. The interdependent family that we saw in the 30s and early 40s, as we saw each member would serve each other, this was gradually being replaced by what we call the individualistic family. Each member of the family would then begin to serve themselves. If we leap forward a few years to the mid-60s, the result of this is now we see the teenagers of the 60s begin to reject and ignore almost everything that stood for any kinds of authority or anything that their parents stood for. During the mid-60s, all authority, even within the church, began to be questioned, and the so-called generation gap grew and became the new American motto during the 60s. During the 60s, the teenagers of this era had no memory of the Great Depression. They had no memory of going without. All they could see was that their parents worked hard, they gave them material possessions, they gave them financial security, and it did not bring the families together anymore. They began to realize that giving your children things does not demonstrate love nearly as much as giving them your time and giving them yourself. And that's exactly what most children grew up with in the 1960s, and what they desperately wanted from their parents was their time, but instead they got stuff. And so because of the misplaced priorities of these baby boom parents, it led to rash behavior of the children. In the 1960s, we could see that our society shifted from parent-controlled families to child-centered families. The 70s gave way to more individualism. Sexual permissiveness arose in the 1970s. Society started to redefine sin so that nobody would feel guilty. Alcoholism became known as a disease in the 70s. Adultery was free love. Homosexuality in the 1970s became known as an alternative lifestyle. So we have now a new generation of parents emerging in the late 70s. and they worked hard to remove any association with past parenting practices. They were going to focus all of their attention on their children. And what happened in the late 70s, as it crept into the early 80s, is what was called a democratic parenting craze arose. That meant that authority lines were eliminated in the family, and everybody was made equal. Children started to call their parents by their first name, and they were considered friends and no longer authority lines. That was seen in the early decades. So because the parents wanted to be friends with their children first and parents second, all kinds of problems came from that. It was in the late 70s, early 80s where the self-esteem movement came and the self-worth movement. Parents would avoid at all costs their children developing any kind of poor self-image through any kind of competition. Instead of helping children gain self-discipline in dealing with conflict, parents would give their children unlimited freedom, and in so doing, they became slaves to their own children. Well, by the end of the decade, by the end of the 80s, families, it can be seen, were in worse shape than ever. The home and the school and the church were clearly on the defensive. And then by the mid-80s, some baby boomers began to realize that something has dreadfully gone wrong. And they were no longer following the parenting programs of the 70s. The growing feminist movement was a sure sign of the weakening role of dad and of husband. And because of the weakening influence of fathers and husbands, the feminist movement was able to take off. In the 80s, we had the sexual freedom. We had the AIDS epidemics. The stigma surrounding divorce was lessening. The pain of single parenting was going away as well. And so it gave way to a generation of children who had little or no understanding of really what a completed family should be or what a whole family should look like anymore. And, you know, Todd, it was no coincidence that in the 1980s there was a dramatic increase in neurodevelopmental problems in children that began in the 1980s. The drugs that have been prescribed since the 80s have been unprecedented in the history of the world because of ADHD and ADD kind of issues in children that stems from the 80s. With all of these things happening, it's no surprise that in the late 80s, about 20 years ago or so, a new parenting movement began where to this very day, parents have too many choices in where to turn, where to go. The latest book, the new fad in parenting. And so even parents today know there's a problem, there's issues, they want to change, but they don't know where to go. They lack models, and they still lack a biblical basis of where to go.
With about 30 seconds here before we take our next break, Dr. Zeroth, fascinating recap there. Sounds like the irony of it is that post Great Depression, the parents were determined to do this for their children, and that domino effect has ended up, in fact, harming children and parents in the process. About 30 seconds before our break, your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I could summarize it in that term I used, a democratic parenting. What this means is that parents have latched on to a humanistic, secular-type psychology. We can call it the religion of human reason if you want. The natural sciences of the 18th and 19th centuries developed in what I call a scientism, and this has become the messiah of the present-day baby boom generation. And, you know, maybe we can talk more about that.
Well, when we come back, we will. Dr. Gary Zeroth is our guest, pastor of St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Part one of a three-part weekly series on Christ-centered parenting today. The biblical foundations for parenting, the last 60 years of parenting. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Some solutions that the church could easily provide given the very tools, the very means of grace that the church has been given by its Lord. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. The Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Greenville, South Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Napoleon, Ohio. First Lutheran, Lufkin, Texas. Concordia Lutheran, Sykeston, Missouri. Hope Lutheran, Granite City, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Gladson, Alabama. And Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
How does error find its way into the church? I've written an article in the latest edition of the online Issues Etc. journal titled From Exception to Rule, How Error Replaces Truth in the Church, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jordan Cooper details his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism. The latest Issues Etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon. Son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then.
10 more minutes in the first part of our three-part weekly series on Christian parenting with Dr. Gary Zeroth, then our two of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Zeroth, let's pick up where you left off. You were talking before the break about this democratic model of parenting, how it's governed by, I think you said, the religion of human reason that has become the new Messiah for parents. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, if we could trace back where some of this philosophy came from, where the modern-day parenting-type books have been written, you can trace it back to the 18th, 19th, and 20th century. We can call them the fathers of humanistic parenting. Some of the names the listeners might recognize, you know, there's about 8 or 10 of them, but some of them would be Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Henry David Thoreau, even B.F. Skinner. What they did is that they pushed hard to revolutionize parenting beliefs from the traditional values of the past. They developed a new scientific dogmatism. From these writings and from these philosophies that we get our present-day affair with what is normally termed democratic parenting. Now, you know, I can define this as a hybrid philosophy. What it does, it blends assumptions about the goodness of human nature and also the political theory of absolute social equality. At the core of these assumptions is the belief that children are born naturally good and virtuous, and they are not capable or even responsible of doing wrong. Or at the very least, children are born morally neutral, and if they are given limited freedom, they will become socially acceptable. A willing generation of baby boom parents have adopted these quickly for their ground rules. Now, when parents remove the God-ordained pattern of authority in the family, and when parents deny the biblical affirmation of man's nature, that we are corrupt and we are born in original sin, you can imagine the chaos that descends on society and in our country. The basic problem, Todd, is that children need authority, and these philosophies give them no authority, not even within the home or the church or not even in society.
Well, if you could pause there for a moment, and it sounds like you're saying not only does it rob the children of the authority structure they need, it places into the children's hands an authority themselves that they neither need nor are able to really exercise rightly.
Right. The question is where do the children turn? Who do they look for guidance? Back in the 18th century, Jean-Jacques Rousseau taught that parents and even teachers were a corrupting element, and that they would direct the child toward evil tendencies. And it was from Rousseau's thought that it was only the state that could raise children. We get to Thoreau in the 19th century. He taught that each child is born in nature, as he would term it, and that children should be raised and taught to live a free and uncommitted life that reflected nature around him. He called this the natural way. This natural way of parenting was good and beneficial. Parents should not alter this natural way, that the child should be in tune with the nature around him. B.F. Skinner, if I remember, in the 20th century, believed that conflict was negative. Parents should avoid conflict at all costs. He would conclude, as well as others of the 20th century, that children, again, are born morally neutral. They are to be given unlimited freedom. And, parents basically should just stand out of the way and get out of the way of where the children need to go naturally. This democratic model obviously is in direct contrast with our biblical model. They are destructive heresies. They teach falsely on the nature of man, and they teach falsely on biblical teaching and practice. The democratic model would teach us that man's nature is innately good. The biblical model would teach us that man's nature is corrupted by sin. The democratic model would teach us that parents should encourage freedom of expression in their children. The biblical model would teach us that parental restraint would lead to responsible behavior. A democratic model that has been taught would teach that conflict is bad, so conflict avoidance would be good for their children. However, in the Bible, we learn that conflict would be natural. It comes naturally. So learning how to resolve conflicts would be good. And then finally, the democratic model would teach that parental authority is bad. But in the scriptures, it's plainly taught that parental authority is given by God and that parents should exercise it widely and wisely. Such a contrast to the biblical teachings that this is where we are with our secular society today.
Now we'll spend the rest of our series with you, Dr. Zeroth, fleshing out the last few minutes here, but by way of preview and by way of summarizing this first part of our series with you, you say that what you're calling for and what the scriptures so abundantly provide for us, a parental instruction of children as baptized sinners in the home, is not, as you say, a replacement for the church or for the divine service, but in fact a preparation for it. With 1 minute, what do you mean?
Yes, that would be a great subject of discussion for next time. Fathers mainly, parents generally speaking, have been given that role and responsibility to train their children in the ways of God, in the truth, and to point them to Jesus Christ. They truly are the chief evangelists, but yet the time that they spend together should always look forward to the time that the extended family, the church, is together, usually on Sunday mornings as they worship together. So everything that a parent does should point towards that time where all of God's saints, all of God's children, the family of God, join together in worshiping Christ at church. So we can talk more about that at a later time, but I'll look forward to explaining more what that is.
Finally, then, with about 30 seconds, in essence, in by way of diagnosing the problem as you have so well here in the last hour, what's missing from Pop American Christianity's view and model of parenting? About 30 seconds, Dr. Zeroth.
Well, what's missing is centering on a theology of the cross. We learn so much nowadays, even within the church, of a theology of glory. What can I be doing? What can man be doing? It's very humanistic, very, very man-centered type theology. We need to get back to a true theology of the cross that, as I can attest, that part of parenting is suffering. and I gain my strength as a father and as a parent through Christ's suffering on my behalf to enable me to properly give to my children and to love them as Christ has demonstrated on the cross. So we need to put the cross back into Christian parenting so that we can encourage and help each other through this way.
We'll continue our series next week with Dr. Zeroth on Christ-centered parenting, talking with him about the proper parental use of law and gospel. Dr. Gary Zeroth is pastor at St. John Lutheran Church in Chaska, Minnesota, adjunct professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Zeroth, well begun. Look forward to our next conversation.
Thanks, Todd. Thanks a lot.
When we come back, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our first guest. There's a story about a Arizona New Age guru who has really done some harm. I think wrongful murder is the charge. Of course, false teaching is always dangerous, spiritually, sometimes even physically. How should society deal with New Age gurus, regulate even the actions of religious movements that prove harmful to their adherents? Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest then. As the church does on this 20th of July, we will as well on Issues Etc. Remember the prophet Elijah, a half hour's conversation with Dr. Walter A. Meyer III of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the Old Testament prophet Elijah, his time, his work, and how he foreshadows the ministry and saving work of Jesus Christ, even answering the question posed there at the end of the New Testament about how Elijah can come back before the Messiah comes back. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for July fits nicely in the whole idea of Christian parenting, generally speaking, of the Christian's mission. It's written by Dr. Ken Sherb, a regular guest here on the program, and it's published by Concordia Publishing House. You can call and ask about, even order, The Christian's Mission, all about your multitude of vocations, receiving the forgiveness of sins from Christ in His church and then lived out in your life. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Christian's Mission, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Hour two of Issues Etc. next.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.